Jesus are these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Keep that in mind, that's page one. In John's Gospel, right at the beginning of his Gospel, it says in my Bible, the Word, God's Word, became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I like the King James Version when it says, the darkness comprehended it not. That's got a bit more meat on the bone, hasn't it? There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And then this most powerful verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. And of course, that one of was Jesus. You don't need me to tell you that. So all the ministers of the church have been given a little job to do. And last week we had fellowship. And Jeff sent the ball rolling in the little meetings that we have in there that are so enjoyable in Catholic Church. And of course I've got a reminder of, because Jeff gave us all a little bit of paper to tell us what we were going to do. And mine's doctrine. And if anybody wants to go out now, they can do. I mean, what a subject. But I'll see if I can make it so that we can not have a good time, but at least we might be able to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm always frightened of this. It's on wheels. We've heard the word doctrination in a very sad and sad way, but it's not that. It's doctrine, instruction, that which is thought and taught, that which is a principle, that which is a belief and a special truth. The teachings not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the New Testament, but the teachings of the Old Testament that begins with, "In the beginning, God." We start there. So I hope you haven't put a half a lamb in the oven because it's going to be burned. There are some who don't read the Old Testament. I've known a couple myself. They say it's hard going. It is. But if we only understand two or three words out of a page, then it's worth it. Many people do find it hard. They don't understand what God's on about. And like Jeff said a few weeks ago, there are people that don't like you to get the bits that are a bit gory. You know, they say, don't try to skip over that. Well, we can't, because we're skipping over God's word. There are many parts in the old and new that many scholars wrestle with. But this is God's history. It's his story from page one to the last amen in Revelation. I'm sure, like me, we want to be together as one on our sheet. We are going to be looking at fellowship, which we had last week. We're going to look at communion. And your prayer, aren't they? Yeah. Paul's prayer. And I've been given doctrine. But we're going to search and try and understand what we've been given. What Almighty God has done for all of us. And he's still doing. And what the future he has for those who love him and his son. And his precious word. In the New Testament, in the 2nd of Timothy, in 3 and verse 16 are these words. And I know you'll know them. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. I've never thought about that before. God-breathed. I think that's wonderful. God's words empowered by the Holy Spirit, not for God's sake, but for mine and yours. I'm quite sure there's a few people here that read the little UCB booklet. I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It talked about God's DNA. His DNA being in every word of scripture. God breathed. They called it, now listen to this, genetic configuration. Now, I don't want you to go home and try and find out what this is. I think it's just a little bit, you know, out of our depth. But what it does mean is that it makes every living thing unique. There's nobody on this earth like you. Even if you were a twin or a quad or whatever they are. 6 babies, 7 babies. They've got different DNA. Oh, yes, they all belong. But it's this genetic configuration. Just sit for a moment to consider what I've just said. All living things, animals, birds, sea life, all different. Yet, there is not another you. And I know sometimes when we wake up in the morning, and we're trying to get out of bed, we're glad. Another thing that has been, or that is, or that will be, not like you. You are unique. Don't let anybody tell you different. You are, and God's precious word is unique too. During COVID, thousands upon thousands have been testing themselves to send samples off to be analysed. Alison read from the opening words of Genesis. God was there. The Word was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And God breathed. In this powerful opening of God's Word to all mankind, we see the loving care of God for us all. But we can only know if we read His Word for ourselves. I know I'm preaching to the converted, but you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, we live in the 21st century with all these labor-saving devices. All that we have in the world today, in our homes, I mean, you can't get in my house for something that you have to plug in. We have, and yet we've no time. We've no time for God's word. We have to do this, this, this. Many years ago, when I was in America, I bought a little book, and it was written by Billy Graham. And this only came to my mind. Is it his son that's over here at the... Oh, thank you. I knew this gentleman was called Graham, and I thought, and he's an evangelist, but he couldn't be his son, but apparently he is. And this is what got me to get my little book out. And it's called Hope for Each Day. And it reminds all Christians everywhere the need to read God's word. In Job chapter 36 and verse 26 is this verse. Job says, "Behold, God is great, and we do not know him." At the time when Billy Graham wrote about this, he was in Jerusalem. And he said he looked out of the window and he saw the light of Bethlehem in the distance. And I suppose you might see them a bit brighter now than when I was there many years ago. But he looked at these little lights and his thoughts went to Mary and Joseph, knocking on the innkeeper's door, trying to find a room so that Mary could have her baby. The innkeeper, well, he wasn't hostile, I don't think. But in modern day speak, he'd got a pub to run and he was busy. It was absolutely packed, he must have said to them. No room, sorry, blame Rome. This coming child was of no business for this innkeeper. You see, his real concern were the paying guests. This is the world, isn't it? Anyway, they weren't his relatives. Why should he bother? But at least he did offer them something. And he said, there's a stable if you want. You can use that. Well, there's no room here. And I've got to get back to my business, my income, and my guests. And they need me. And that was it. Billy Graham said, this is the answer, sadly, that millions of people give. It's called preoccupation. It's not opposition. It's not hatred. It's just not being concerned about spiritual things. And I've really no time for reading this. For many throughout the world, people are too preoccupied to welcome Christ into their life. And it's up to us to keep telling them the story. How can human beings know God if we don't read his word? Now, I know some of my friends here will know about this little incident, but it stuck with me for a long time. When my son was young, we used to go to North Wales for holiday. And I can never get it right, Llanfairpwll. You might know the Welsh name for it, but that's how far as I got. But we went there year after year because we had a friend there, Luigi, and his wife, Christine, another Christine. In fact, she became the mayor of Llanfairpwll. And if you go off the main road then, you went past the little tiny church at the bottom underneath the bridge where the trains came over. And there was this little tiny church. And there wasn't another church around that area. And I thought, I'll go to that church. But they only spoke English once a month. So, fortunately, on that day, when I went there on that Sunday, it was English Day. And this word, peniel, really got to me. I thought, I wonder what it is. Well, I thought about this and I looked it up. I looked it up the other day. It took me years and years and years to look it up. So if you say I don't read the Bible much, well, we're all in the same boat. But if you want to know about that, just go to Genesis 32 and you read the story of Jacob, you know, the guy that cheated his brother. And then he went and got himself two wives, and then he got himself dead rich, and then he got himself, I think I'll go and try and make it up with my brother. And it was before he met his brother that he had, it says that he wrestled an angel. Okay. And he called the place Peniel. And apparently this place means, here I saw God face to face. Isn't that wonderful? Here I saw God face to face. Oh, I don't want to die tomorrow, but you know, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Here I saw God face to face. I've never forgotten that little church. I've never forgotten the little man that was in the pulpit. He had a dusty black suit. He had white grey hair. I have some room to talk. And he stood there and he did a right good rant at the congregation. He was full of zeal and fervour. He had a diligent heart for the word of God. And he shouted out with a loud voice that came from a little man, "Where's your Bible? I know where it is," he said. "It's gathering dust, stuck on a shelf." And he banged and he said, "This is the precious word of God." But you know, over this time of COVID, for some, their lives have been completely changed. You know, where you sat and you read your Bible, you know, we all have a time when we read so much and say a little prayer. Well, it's had to be just moved because we've got people to look after. If you had children, oh, I'm so glad it didn't happen when it was our Gareth and he was at home all day and you had to teach him. But, you know, there was home teaching. How did you do that? And then, you know, and then they've got to be entertained when they've been at school. The sick and the aged, too, needed to be cared for. You know, our daily routine had to change for the benefit of others. And God knew that. He still might be knowing that, especially with those that need our loving help. God knows. Perhaps now for a while, as we look after loved ones, words of pieces of scripture might come together to our hearts. In Philippians 4 is this word. Finally, brothers, Paul says, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Paul says, or seen in me, I love that bit, or seen in me, put it into practice, he says, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, here in Philippians, stresses a very important thing. We all know what we put into our minds. And what we put in our minds determines what comes out in our words, our desires, and our actions. We are to choose what you and I put in here. Perhaps films on the television, internet, books, magazines, you know what I mean. If you saw my, thing, the television book, I went through it this morning, and it's been a no. And I put a ring round just to remind myself. There's only two rings up to now, because I don't find anything of the other interesting. I shall be sitting with the Queen, I'll be watching her Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and hopefully Sunday. But it's not enough to read God's word or even to know it well. We have to put that teaching into practice. How easy it is to listen to a sermon. You might forget it before you go through the front door. We should be thinking about how can I live differently. I read scripture is not enough. We must obey it. So like Paul, it surely will make a difference in our lives. I was thinking about Paul. You might say he's got some room to talk, hasn't he? Given us all these instructions, this Pharisee, this Roman citizen, very clever, man of university standing. But before he became a believer, after the stoning of Stephen and his frenzied persecution of the Christians, he all of a sudden wanted to push for the early church. And one of the things he did, all this, you think it was terrible what he did, but good came out of it. Because the early church was centered around Jerusalem, Israel. And all of a sudden, they fled. And all of a sudden, the church of God became worldwide. It wouldn't be easy. After his conversion on the Damascus Road, Paul, fired up by God's Holy Spirit, would go throughout the Roman Empire, taking the word of God to those who would listen to this word of life. Do you know, when I was thinking about this, God doesn't waste any part of us, does he? No matter what Paul was before, the Lord used his background, he used his training, and he used every part of him, his citizenship, his mind. And he even used his weaknesses. So don't be disappointed if you let God down. We all do it. There are those here who have, it's all to do with belonging with each other. We've been thinking about church membership in this last month. And for those and all of us, sometimes we too need a godly nudge, as it were, to let God do something for you that he's not been able to do before. Paul, all those years ago, we think about him, but you know, we will never know all God can do with you and me and this his church here in Roman Road until we allow him to have his way with all of us together. Membership in Christ Church is a togetherness of people with gifts that God can use to his glory. And know what's running through your mind if you have still to answer God's call to take with him the next step, because that's what it is, membership, the next step. You might say, I don't need to be a member to be saved. No, you don't. But it does help. Membership brings us closer together. We're a family. I'm always saying about families. We're a family of God's people, people who want to be together, pray together, sing. I love the singing this morning, you're all in good voice. But what we will understand from being so close is that God himself will really look after us. In God's word, in the Psalms, it says this, I trust in Lord with all my heart. And lean not on my own understanding. You can say these words with me because you know them. In all my ways I acknowledge you, and you direct my paths. I walk in the light of the word. Holy Spirit, you are my counselor, teaching me to educate, train, and develop my human spirit. The word of God shall not depart out of my mouth. And finally, if any of you, when reading your Bible, have a question to ask, there's Dorothy, Derek, Paul, myself, plus Jeff. We are all here to help you. At the moment, our Bible study is waiting for new materials. But if there's anything, just come to any of us and say, can you help me with this? It's all right. I can't understand it at all. What's God going on about? We are here to help. We're all here to nurture each other. And I pray that God will bless us all. Amen.